Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Once again, welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Steve will be joining us from the Sunbury Motors Studio in just a few moments. One of the things we'll be hearing from today is we'll hear from Coach Bill O'Brien, Penn State Nittany Lions, getting ready for a matchup with Virginia, maybe some players as well. We'll also talk about some NFL news as there's a starting quarterback controversy in Arizona and one involving a player that I think a lot of Bucknell fans are familiar with by the name of John Skelton, the former Fordham starting quarterback. Now looks like he will be the starting quarterback in Arizona over Kevin Cobb. That's a pretty expensive bench guy that Arizona has. Skelton makes about $550,000, a little under $550,000 in base salary a season. They signed Cobb to a six-year, $65 million deal to be Skelton's backup. Both the quarterbacks were kind of so-so all through the preseason. So Ken Whisenhunt decided to basically put their numbers in a hat, and guess that's how Skelton got the starting job. It's pretty scary if you think about it that, you know, your two starting quarterbacks, one you're paying $65 million over the next 6 years, is, so mediocre that your $540,000 backup quarterback and he going into a hat, and whosoever number you draw is the quarterback that you're going to be starting on opening day. Cobb, obviously, not really, excited about it, even though he's going to make a lot of money not to play. He said it's kind of disappointing. That's obvious. One thing he's learned in the league, it's full of surprises. You keep pressing forward, and you take time to sulk or feel sorry for yourself. You get left behind, and the opportunity is going to pass you by. Well, listen, if the difference between these two guys were so average or mediocre that Ken Whisenhunt had to pick their numbers out of a hat, there's a pretty good chance that if Skelton gets into trouble in week one or even in the first half of week one, that Cobb may get some starting time in place. So I thought that was interesting that Whisenhunt picked a number from a hat and said Skelton would be the starter. That's an interesting way to make your decision in the NFL. Who cares about scientificness? You don't need any scientific evidence. You don't need to sit there and watch film. Just draw it out of a hat. You'll be fine. Other NFL news, Steelers safety Ryan Clark will not play again in Denver, fourth time since 07 because of a sickle cell trait that exposes him to health risks at higher altitudes. He sat out the season-ending AFC wildcard playoff loss at Denver in January and was held out of the regular season trip to Denver in 09 and the preseason game in 2010. He led the Steelers in tackles last season, replaced by Ryan Mundy in the lineup. But I'll tell you what, I honestly believe that not having Clark in the game in that AFC playoff wildcard playoff loss last year was a big reason that Denver was able to move the ball in the air. And I think it was a real big reason that they were able to score on that first touchdown, or excuse me, score on that first play in overtime, that big touchdown pass. Now, the reason I say that is because Ryan Clark is used to working with Troy Polamalu. And let's face it, Troy Polamalu is not your normal everyday safety. He kind of does things that most guys won't do. And he disguises it very, very well. Ryan Clark is used to playing with a guy like Troy Polamalu. He understands what he's going to do. And he's able to change his coverage based upon that. So hopefully Ryan Mundy will have a chance to learn, we'll call it, that trait from Ryan Clark, or that ability from Ryan Clark, and be okay for the week one matchup in Denver against the new-look Denver Broncos and, of course, Peyton Manning there. In October of 07, Clark actually had his first situation from that sickle cell trait. He had some paralyzing pain in his left side, and had a life-threatening attack and career-threatening attack that caused some surgery and a removal of his spleen and gallbladder. And because he experienced oxygen deprivation to his major organs, he lost 30 pounds and missed the rest of the season, but then was eventually cleared to return and play football. Now, he does not experience the symptoms, as is true in most sickle cell trait carriers, in other game situations or when participating in football games or workouts at normal altitude. That's just what happens in Denver because of the higher altitude and less oxygen. So understandable why he's not going to play. And, you know, nobody in their right mind would actually want him to play in that situation and risk life and limb for a football game. But it is a big loss, I think, for the Steelers. And as I said earlier, a big loss for the Steelers in the secondary, as that makes Troy Polamalu a little bit less of a threat as far as Peyton Manning and the Denver offense is concerned, because I think he has to stay back a little bit more than he would normally. College football news. Alabama's the new number one in the AP college football poll. They passed Southern Cal after the big victory against Michigan. They swayed enough voters with that 41-14 win Saturday night in Texas to overtake the preseason number one Trojans, who beat Hawaii 49-10. Now, you may think 49-10 is not what I would call a close game by any means. Now, Hawaii is not the caliber of opponent that Michigan is. That's pretty obvious. But when you figure that USC entered that game, what, about a 40-point favorite at home, and I guess you could say only won by 30, maybe that is where the difference was. They got 45 first-place votes this week. Alabama only had 28 last week. USC drew 11 first-place votes, and number three LSU got four. It is the 47th time Alabama has been number one and 16th under Coach Nick Saban. This is the 82nd time in the 76-year history of the Associated Press media poll that the top-ranked team won and dropped in the rankings. It happened at least once every year since 2007. It's an interesting stat, isn't it? They've had 76 years. It's the 86th time that the top-ranked team won and dropped, and it's happened at least once every year since 2007. Tell me that doesn't mean that there's just a little bit more parity in college football. Now, does it mean that the SEC is still better than everybody else? That's debatable. They definitely look pretty good against Michigan. And as we said here on the program last week, that would have been a big game for Michigan to win and at least bring back some of the power that I think the Big Ten has lost over the years, especially to the SEC. Today's program has a hotline sponsored by Lenape Solar. Find them at lenapesolar.com, and you can dial up the hotline in just a few moments to talk to Steve, ask your questions. 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Don't forget to check us out online, stevejonesshow.com. Last day for our poll, or and you'll be able to link up with us there. As I said, Steve Jones coming from the Sunbury Motors studio in just a moment. Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And, of course, Routes 11 and 15 with a Kia dealership in Hummel's Wharf. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar, your approved PP&L e-Power Trade ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all of the paperwork for you. The e-Power Direct Discount Program for PP&L customers pays you upfront for up to 75% of the project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar, this is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
I'm sure you've browsed the web from time to time looking for a new or used vehicle and came across a few user-unfriendly websites. Taurian Services you will always find at sunburymotors.com. Kia, Hyundai, Ford, Lincoln, new and quality used. There's a great selection and the best prices around. Their Black Book service takes the guesswork out of trading your car, and you can find out how much your car is worth with one click of the mouse. If you're looking for a commercial vehicle, Sunbury Motor Company has them. And you can browse online and take your time learning about Sunbury Motor Company's tire rewards, service department, parts, body shop, and much more. It's user-friendly and then some when you visit sunburymotors.com to see all their new and used inventory. Be sure to visit the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury or Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Welcome back. And Kevin's gone through the TMZ portion of the show. Feeling better?
I'm still laughing at the way Ken Whisenhunt picked a starting quarterback.
Well, doesn't say much for what you have to choose from.
No, that's the thing. One guy's worth $65 million over 6 years. The other guy's going to make about $540,000. Let's see. We'll pick 19. Okay, that's Skelton's number. You win.
Well, it's irrelevant how much money you make. Let's start with that.
I know.
Totally irrelevant. It's about winning.
But let's face it, they signed Kolb so they wouldn't have to put Skelton in this position, or that they felt he wasn't ready to be in this position. And
but
that's
again,
a lot of money to be
again,
a coach.
But again, that's the mentality that labels a walk-on as an inferior player.
Say that again.
That is the same mentality that labels a walk-on as an inferior player.
All right.
He's a five-star guy. They're misusing the talent. Maybe the talent isn't that good.
Well, if you're the owner, you don't want your $65 million man sitting on the bench holding a clipboard, calling in plays.
If I'm owning the team and that guy's better, I want that guy playing. I want to win. And then I'll figure out how to move his contract later.
Well, I think you have to. If he doesn't play at all, you can't let him sit on the bench at 6 years, $65 million.
Right. In other words, you move him.
No, I'm not arguing.
If the other guy's better, you move him. I mean, I don't care who plays. I mean, the last thing I would ever do is go up to a coach and say, I'm paying him $65 million. You have to play him. No, I would never do that.
I have two words.
Never.
Jerry Jones.
Never do that. No, they were playing. No, he did the same thing. He was paying Drew Bledsoe big money, right?
Right.
And they started Tony Romo.
Yeah, but he didn't keep Bledsoe, did he?
No, he moved him.
Yeah,
That's what you have to do.
I know, and I'm not arguing with you. I agree with you.
And Jerry Jones did do that. He did not tell the coaches, I'm paying him X amount of million dollars.
No, I get what you're
Don't
saying.
Start the free agent. All right? They went with the guy they thought they could win with. And be honest with you, Romo gets a bad rap. He is not a bad quarterback. He is a good NFL quarterback. Romo is a good NFL quarterback. The Cowboys do not have a lot of talent around him. Sometimes it's that simple.
I mean, but how bad must your quarterbacks be? All right, that's probably a wrong way to word it. How average must your quarterbacks be? If you just pick a number from a hat and that's who wins the starting job, though.
That's a big problem. I mean, I agree with you completely about that. Yeah, it's a big problem. So.
And I actually like John Skelton. I liked him. I thought he had some decent skills in college, and I thought he would be an NFL quarterback. I thought he could be an NFL quarterback, too. I mean, he has that size of an NFL quarterback.
He does. I mean, but I'm not big on the prototypes.
No, I know. I know what you're saying.
I've never been big on the prototypes. That's why I'm thrilled to see what Russell Wilson's doing out in Seattle, because I watched him play quarterback at Wisconsin, watched him firsthand, talked to him, the whole thing. The guy's smart. The guy has an arm. The guy can move. The guy can see the field. The interesting thing is, look at Seattle. They're starting Russell Wilson. Who aren't they starting? The guy they got into a massive bidding war with how many other teams in the NFL over Matt Flynn?
Oh, forgot about that.
That's why I do this show.
That's exactly why.
When it comes to Penn State football, I will start out by saying this. One game does not make a season, and I would have said this regardless, and one game does not make a program. I would have said that win or lose. I know a lot of emotion was poured in by fans about this opening game. I understand, because all of you have gone through a lot as fans of this program and of this team and of this university. So winning it would have been great and would have had everybody walking out of there feeling great, and then you're on the right track again. I got it. Nobody understands that more than me. But you don't base everything on one day. You don't get too euphoric over one day. You don't get too down over one day. And if they had won, oh, look, wait up. Hey, it would have been one game.
What's the old adage? You're never as good as you thought you looked, and you're never as bad as you thought you were.
Right. Well, no, exactly. It does go back to what Joe always talked about. You're never as good as you think you are when you win. You're never as bad as you think you are when you lose.
I thought that was one that was attributed to Joe, but I wasn't sure.
No, that's Joe's. I listened to that for 32 years.
I'm sure you did.
I have them all memorized.
And the other one was, you're only as good as your improvement between week one and week two.
Week one, week two. And and you either get better or you get worse, you never stay the same. And that applies to everyday life. That applies to everyday life. So, we'll see. I'll go out to practice when I'm finished with this. Today we're going to be talking about fantasy football, believe it or not. I figured you would love this.
I need the help.
Well, it's not a question of you needing the help. I did not set this up because you needed help.
No, I don't care. I still need the help. I'm looking forward to it.
I set this up with the idea that that I am not a fantasy baseball, football, NASCAR at all. I don't do any of that stuff. Not one thing. Right? I have no interest in it. I personally have zero interest in it. But you also have to understand that when you do this job, and I've lectured my class about this many times, you have to understand what the audience enjoys. And a lot of people love fantasy sports, fantasy baseball, football, NASCAR, whatever it happens to be. So I set this up. Kevin didn't set this up. I actually set it up. You're shocked, aren't you?
I'm ecstatic.
Tony and Shamokin, I'm ecstatic you called at 1-800-795-9565 on the Let It Be Solar hotline. Tony, welcome.
I'm ecstatic that you're ecstatic.
We're all ecstatic today.
Everybody jump up and down.
You know, about the game Saturday, you know, Penn State makes that interception. Don't get that lucky bounce through Ohio. That's a different ball game.
Oh, that's a huge part of the game. And Stephen Obeng Archibong does what he is supposed to do on the play, Tony. He breaks on the ball, thinks he has a play on it, and he can't assume that Malcolm Willis is in back of him. He deflects the ball because Willis is just playing center field, just waiting for the ball to come to him. Tettleton, for one of the few times in the game, actually has legitimate pressure on him where he's just throwing the ball up for grabs. Yeah. Obeng breaks on the ball, deflects it, and in the term, what he does as part of the fluke is that he deflects it away from Willis and into Landon Smith's hands.
I think that happened against Ohio State a couple of years ago, too.
It did. It did, and it's just one of those fluky things that just happens.
That's why they play the game. But you were talking about four or five-star recruits. At least you mentioned some about them. How many four or five-star recruits did Ohio have?
Well, they don't have any. Honest with you.
Players out there.
Right.
They're trying to turn these high school kids in. They didn't even play their senior year in high school yet. They're made into superstars.
One of the reasons, Tony, I don't like at all ESPN broadcasting so many high school football games. I think it's wrong.
And they talk about these kids. That kid that's committed to Penn State, Kristen Hackenberg, they played that first game, and his team got crushed. And all they're talking about during that game was Kristen Hackenberg. He's a senior in high school, for God's sake. You know?
Well, obviously, I can't talk about him because it's an NCAA violation if I do. So let me talk, though, in general terms about the promoting of high school players. This ESPN 1 through 150, he's part of the ESPN Top 150. He's a five-star. He's a Rivals five-star guy. He's a four-star guy. Look. when it comes to, all right, I can sit here and I can evaluate play-by-play talent. And the reason I can is because I do it for a living.
Right.
So I know what to listen for, what I'm looking for, and so forth, because it's what I do. And I know when I'm sitting in the booth, there are things up in the booth. Tony, for example, as great a listener as you are, may not know everything that we're trying to do as we go through it, okay?
Uh-huh. Right.
And it's part. And, for example, whatever your business happens to be, I would have to learn from you what your business is because you're an expert in what you do.
Thank you.
All right. No, but Tony, I honestly feel that way. I honestly feel that way, that when I go into a sheet metal fabrication shop, even though I know how to weld and I know how to do sheet metal fabrication because I learned it from my father, that person standing there does it every day and is an expert on how to do it. And I'm not going to give that person advice on how to do it. Well, the same thing when it comes to this. Coaches are the ones that evaluate talent, not some guy sitting at a computer who doesn't see it.
I've been saying that for years. I mean, these kids, I mean, they're high school kids. That's all they are. They're somewhere bigger in high school than the other kids, and that's what gives them, you know, the edge. But everybody catches up to them eventually.
And, right, and that's a good point.
And, you know, they go up there, they realize, I'm not as good as everybody's saying I was. They get deflated.
And some people make the adjustment from one level to the next level with complete ease. Others don't. Suddenly, when faced with comparable talent, they struggle with it. Others, when they're faced with comparable talent, thrive.
That's right.
You just don't know. It's on a case-by-case basis. That's why this, what Penn State, when it comes to recruiting the 65-player limit, when they're going to be limited to 15 max and probably 13 per year over 5 years, if you recruit 25 guys, Tony, you can make a mistake, you know, in terms of what you need. You know, I never refer to a young man as a mistake. Okay, I never refer to a young woman as a mistake. But you can make an evaluation mistake as to what you do in projecting them to the next level and probably 10 out of the 25 and still have 15 that you were right on. So that's 60%. When you only have 15 to work with, you can't have a 60% success rate. You're going to have a 75% success rate.
Exactly.
And that's why Penn State's margin of error is going to be thinner.
And makes you work harder.
And these guys will get it done. I'm very confident.
I'm sure they are. And I'm the eternal optimist. We're not winning 12. We'll only win 11.
Right. Exactly, Tony. Good point.
Hey, listen, have a nice day. Enjoy talking to you.
Tony, I enjoyed it as well. Great points.
Stay ecstatic.
All right. If you keep calling, I will. Thanks. On the Let It Be Solar Hotline at 1-800-795-9565. We head to the bottom of the hour. And our queen is next. Sarah Bartlett with the news. Kevin, anything else from the TMZ report?
Nothing yet, but I'll find something. Don't worry. I'm just waiting to see what defense I need to play.
The only guy I know that actually goes through athletes' garbage to find reports. Wow.
I'll do what it takes to give you the info in this program.
Oh, boy.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Okay, there is no doubt that within the confines of Sunbury Broadcasting, there is a level of excitement for fantasy football. I believe Sarah Bartlett, even before the season starts, is on the verge of kicking your tail in this draft.
I'm not sure about that. I don't know if there's been a year she's actually finished ahead of me or not.
Excuse me, I think she has a shot.
I didn't say she didn't have a shot.
First of all, she drafts with loyalty.
Oh, here we go.
She does not sit there and watch a game hoping that the opponent runs roughshod over her team.
Doesn't matter how many yards they give up as long as the points on the board are different. As long as your team has more points, it's all I care about.
Sure. Fourth quarter. All right. She has She has McAllister. Oakland's playing Pittsburgh. McAllister, they get the ball at the 3-yard line. McAllister goes to the 10, out to the 20, pounds it out to the 30, pounds it out to the 40, all running plays, racking up yards, racking up yards, racking up points, racking up points, racking up points, and finally, I mean, you're sweating bullets, and you don't know what to do. Do I keep rooting for McAllister to give me points so I can win this week, or do I hope the Steelers stop him?
I always hope the Steelers stop him. What's really difficult.
You are a conflicted individual. I, on the other hand, enjoy watching my team win. There is no way on the planet I could sit there and select Tony Romo or Jason Witten or DeMarcus Ware or anybody, all right, or Austin, Miles Austin, Dez Bryant, okay, to face the New York Giants tomorrow night.
Do you know how many Ravens I have on my team?
And by the way, the political people, okay, and I want to all of you out there who have a political affiliation, this is not a political statement I'm making in terms of parties at all. But I've watched the commentators go over and over and over the weekend about the importance of former President Clinton's speech tomorrow night at the Democratic National Convention, right? Everybody's heard it. Important. It's going to set the tone. Blah, blah, blah. Not one of these individuals in any of these panels I saw realized that nobody's going to be watching it. It's opposite the Cowboys and the Giants. Why do you think the president asked them to move the game to Wednesday?
The only way anybody's going to watch it is on highlights.
Because he knows and they know that the Cowboys and Giants game's probably going to get a 30 rating tomorrow night. It's going to be a 30-plus. 17 of the top 20 shows last year were NFL games. 17 of the top 20.
The smartest thing that Clinton could do is give updates of the game during his speech.
It wouldn't matter. Nobody would still be watching. Okay, the only people who are going to be watching are absolute political junkies, which is fine because that's their passion and they love it. That's fine. And those in the hall. And the commentators from each of the cable networks. No offense.
No, Wolf Blitzer's going to be catching the game. Don't let him fool you.
23-20 Giants, in the middle of the third quarter, about 10 o'clock at night when he's speaking. And guess what? You might as well hear crickets. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
Right.
Okay, this is not a case where, like, they're going up against a World Series game or they're going up against the NBA Finals or whatever, which will get good numbers. The NFL draws incredible numbers because the NFL has the ability to reach the casual fan. They have the ability. That's the difference in a rating. There's just no way. Okay, the number of people watching tomorrow night to the Democratic National Convention is going to be small. It's going to be small. It's only going to be those that are like absolute junkies that are into it, which is great. I'm glad you're into the political scene. And I mean, even his wife's not going to be there. So, I mean, what the heck? She won't.
No support.
No, but she's not going to be there. She's on an overseas trip. But, I mean, listen to these people going, oh, it's so important, and he's going to set the tone, and blah, 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 and the country wants to. I'm looking at the TV. Not one of them had the realization of what he's going up against. Not every person in the country is going to watch the Giants and the Cowboys, but a third of the nation will. I mean, no offense, but these people don't get it.
Well, they're news commentators. What do you expect?
What have I always said? And it's really come to light this year.
What? Sports commentators can't do news?
Sports people should never cover news, and news people should never cover sports.
That's right.
Ever. All right. But I laughed so much when I saw that. I thought, you have to be kidding me. They have no idea. It's going to be a ghost town. And I'm making no statement at all about former President Clinton. None.
Right.
I'm making no statement at all about what he's going to say tomorrow night or how important it is. None. I'm talking realistically. Virtually nobody's going to be watching.
Listen, this could be One Direction performing and no one would still be watching.
Exactly, because, again, the NFL has that kind of drawing power right now, and with no strike, no lockout, people are anxious to watch the first game. The only thing they have going for them, the convention does, is that Wednesday's a weird night to start. The NFL hasn't played on a Wednesday night in 50-plus years. Well, but I have a feeling that people are going to be aware it's going to draw. It's going to get a 30 rating.
And sports have really has really made a big impact this summer in the box office numbers and movies. Box office way down this year.
Box office way down.
Do you know why?
Way down. The Olympics.
Everybody stayed home and watched the Olympics.
Yeah, it's huge.
By the way, speaking of football, good news for Evan Royster. Looks like he might be the starter rather for the Redskins. Right.
Yep. Okay. David Doley. Chance now to talk with him about fantasy football. David, welcome. Great to have you with us.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. So, you sit down and someone puts a fantasy draft together. In the first three rounds, what type of player, point-wise, should they be looking for?
Well, absolutely. The first few rounds, you want to get players, obviously very productive ones, but you want to get safe players too. You know, I would always recommend you want to take a top three from any position. Quarterbacks are always, in almost every league, are going to be one of your highest scorers, but running backs are very consistent scorers and are the ones that you need to make sure. First three rounds, I think you should always leave with at least one running back, if not two, out of those rounds, maybe a quarterback or a top wide receiver.
Okay, so you said running backs. Okay, why running backs as opposed to a quarterback, especially in a league that really wants to throw it?
Well, it depends. It depends a little bit on the scoring that you might have in your league. But in most fantasy leagues, you will only start one quarterback, so you only need 10 or 12 starters for the entire league. But you probably have at least two, if not three, starting running backs. So there's going to be a run on those on running backs. They're going to be a premium. It's just the demand is much higher for running back, and the supply is not going to be there because there's only about, 15, maybe 20 at most running backs who aren't in a big committee situation, who don't have big question marks, that you can feel good about getting consistent production for your team.
Okay, so when it comes to those top three guys, who are the more popular guys this year? But then, now let's go, and then the second part of that question, Dave, is going to be, when you get down to like the 10 to 15 guys, where are a couple of guys in that range that give you that second guy that could really produce some numbers potentially for you based on all the research you've done?
Sure, absolutely. Top three guys across the board, quarterbacks always going to be Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady. Your running backs always going to be Arian Foster, Ray Rice, LeSean McCoy. Wide receivers, Calvin Johnson, no question. For me, Julio Jones, probably Larry Fitzgerald are the top three of those. But you're right. It's those deeper guys that's going to make your season or not. The guys that you get kind of cheaply in your draft but are going to outperform where you get them. Guys I like there, I love Roethlisberger. He's a great quarterback in a new system. Going to throw more. I think he's a great, great value where you pick him up. Also, Ryan Wilson is a rookie out in Seattle. You can get him for next to nothing. Exciting guy, runs the ball. He's kind of like everybody wants him to be the next Cam Newton. We'll see what happens. But
look, David, I saw Russell Wilson in firsthand last year. Okay,
really?
The kid can play. Okay,
I know. I was surprised he fell to the third round because they say he's only 5'11", 205.
Yeah. I stood next to him. He is only 5'11", and that does make a difference. The NFL's, as you know, is a cookie cutter, homogenized league in terms of you have to be 6'3", you have to be at certain positions.
But Seattle, they paid. Matt Flynn
from Green Bay. Yeah,
$10 million guaranteed, about $26 million, and he got beat out by this rookie, a third round rookie. So,
right.
And he's only making like $600,000 a year to be the start. So, that's quite a story there.
And not only that, you're probably getting pretty cheap in the fantasy draft, right?
Oh, absolutely. Unless somebody's really know what they're doing. In the average one, people won't even draft him probably thinking that he's just another rookie. But, he's a really exciting player. I'm really interested to see where he ends up going. He's one of the guys that we're following. A few of the other players we were talking about, that you get real deep in your draft. David Wilson for the Giants running back. Cedric Benson now plays for the Packers. This could be actually a very nice little matchup. I like Ryan Williams down in Arizona. I think at some point he'll probably become a starting running back there. Beanie Wells is Beanie Wells, and he's never going to be more than he is. And I think Williams has a chance to step up on that. As far as wide receivers, just a couple of them. You get really deep in your draft. I love Darius Heyward-Bey out in Oakland. Number one receiver there. Carson Palmer should do a whole lot better. Kendall Wright, the rookie in Tennessee, has looked great. He was a force in Baylor. He's come in mature, ready to play for the Titans, who, you know, start in locker for the first year, so I think that's going to be really good. You know, Lance Moore in New Orleans is a good guy you can get really late.
What about the two kids, obviously, anybody would talk about, and that would be Andrew Luck and RG3. Value there because of the number of times they might have to put the ball up, and especially the way RG3 runs it?
Sure, absolutely. And those two are really great guys. You're not going to probably draft them to be a starter, but if you take them as a backup, they may end up being your starters. I have to admit, I mean, I liked RG3 coming in just because he runs the ball, and that really helps with fantasy value because you get a lot more points when they run it. And that's why Cam Newton was so effective last year. So everybody kind of liked RG3 coming in because he could run the ball and throw it. But, you know, Andrew Luck, I'm thoroughly impressed seeing him in the preseason. I mean, that guy, as they say, he's as NFL-ready as any quarterback probably the last 20 years. He looks it. He doesn't even have that great of receivers. He looks really sharp. So, yeah, both those guys I think are going to have really nice careers. I'm really impressed with both of them.
Is it a roll of the dice on Trent Richardson?
You know, Trent, I don't think so. Right now people are a little bit down on him because he had to have his knee cleaned out again, and he may not be able to play here this first week. But, you know, the guy is a great running back. He was, you know, by all accounts, supposedly the best running back to come out of college since Adrian Peterson. That remains to be seen, and playing in Cleveland is kind of limited him a little bit since he has to play Pittsburgh twice and Baltimore twice and Cincinnati twice. But,
yes.
You know, I think he's a real deal. It's just, you know, proof is in the pudding. We'll see what happens with it. But, yeah, I think he's a real deal.
Give me an idea of some tight ends that are early picks and then some middle-of-the-road guys that could garner you some points.
Sure. You know, as far as the values in tight ends, because there's not a whole lot of really productive tight ends, the guys that I do like that are kind of good value, Jimmy Graham, Rob Gronkowski, and Aaron Hernandez, always going to be the top three taken because they were so astronomically effective last year. But, you know, beyond that, guys that I think are great value plays for tight ends, Fred Davis in Washington, he had a great year last year, got cut short four games because he had a suspension for drug, whatever it was. But
substance abuse, yeah.
Play. Guys that are really deep that you can get your backup. Greg Olsen in Carolina, they want to make him into next Gronkowski. See if that happens. But Cam Newton needs a good receiver. Olsen could fit the bill. Kyle Rudolph in Minnesota enters his second season. Really, really talented guy. They took him high last year. I think he's going to have a really good, surprising year. And even like Martellus Bennett, you know, Bennett played for Dallas behind Jason Witten. You never really saw him. Now he's in the Giants, playing for the Giants. Gets to be a starter. I think he could really be something there with Eli Manning. And we would get to find out because the first week he plays against his old team, Dallas.
Yeah, in fact, I saw him when he was at Texas A&M and they played Penn State in the Alamo Bowl. Saw him firsthand. Very, very impressive specimen. Next up, teams when they draft defenses. When you're sitting there, you have to draft a defense. What do you look for? What are the key components that garner people points? A little quick tip there.
You know, the honest things about defenses is they change so dramatically from year to year, it's really hard to get a handle on what's going to happen. It's hard to forecast it accurately. Things you basically want to look for is obviously teams that have stars, star power. You have to have a defense that has the best players on it. You know, the Baltimores, the Pittsburghs. You know, I like guys on Detroit. Obviously, New York Jets, those are always going to be at least decent defenses for you. But the other thing you want to think about is, what is their offense like? If their offense is one like Green Bay Packers that's going to score so many points, it's going to force their opponents into passing situations, that's what you want because then you can get your interceptions, your touchdowns, your fumbles, your sacks, all those kind of elements because the other team fell behind. So that's the kind of thing you want to look for, what defense is attached to a really good offense.
it's a name that will come up in any fantasy draft, and it will cause the same consternation as it does in real life, is Tim Tebow.
Well, I knew that one.
What, David, what do you do with that?
You know, honestly, I think Tebow is going to be a mess in New York, because every time they lose a game or Mark Sanchez throws a bad pass, they're going to be calling for Tim Tebow. They're going to use Tebow in wildcat formations there. They'll be really effective. It'll make their offense much better. It's kind of worse in fantasy terms, because then waters down what Sanchez can do, and Tebow won't have a full-time gig to give you fantasy value from that. At some point, you know, if the Jets season falls apart or Sanchez really flops, then Tebow will become the starter just to shut up the fans. But, you know, I wouldn't anticipate seeing Tebow in any kind of a role other than kind of a gimmicky thing, you know, at least for the first half of the season. But, you know, he's an exciting player, but in terms of true NFL starting quarterback qualities, he's still lacking.
All right. Absolutely, David. Absolutely on that. And again, Tebow's the only guy I've ever talked about on the air where if you give a realistic valuation of exactly what he is, fans get mad.
True.
I'm sorry. I've been around the game for 30-something years. I'm not right about everything, but I can tell you right now, when a guy can't throw the ball accurately.
He's so polarizing. It's kind of funny from my perspective, because I'm just all about production.
Right, and you're about numbers. Right. Yeah.
And he does, you know, he does have several games, undeniably. He came through at the end. He had that one long pass. They scored the touchdown. They won the game. You know, from a statistics standpoint, didn't have a great game. You know, and obviously his passing percentage completions are horrible. He throws ducks. He throws all kinds of weird balls. They've tried to work on his mechanics. It's just not there as a full-time, true NFL starter. But as a gimmicky guy, he's great. I mean, he can throw the ball. He can obviously run the ball. But as a full-time starter, no, not for me.
David, I knew I had to throw that one in for you at the end. Thanks so much for the time you gave us today. I think you gave a lot of fantasy players out there some valuable and interesting tips that will help them get through their drafts.
Very good. Happy to do it.
Did he help you?
Unfortunately, I'd already drafted my team, so not really. Sorry.
You feel bad about what you did after
this? Absolutely, I feel bad about it. There's no question.
Now, then I've achieved my goals.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad. I'm so happy.
People say, what would you like to do today? I said, I want to depress Kevin into the turf. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.